This is The Light Inside. I'm Jeffrey Biesecker. Energy, to say it fuels life, is an understatement. Energy is life. And as a soulful, successful, conscious leader, you define yourself with a humanitarian spirit, a heart-centered mission, and a passion to make a profound difference throughout the world. Your life and career, fulfilling. However, there are times when things feel just a little left of center, and you find yourself a bit out of alignment. We know, because there are times still, when we feel this static surfacing throughout our lives. Nature has specific ways for us to leverage the power of our energetic blueprint, allowing us to create sovereign success, united connection, deep fulfillment, and unparalleled impact. And we master our own spirit and uplift our souls to new and inspiring heights. And you know what? This power is within us all. Transformation catalyst and energy healer Danielle Lara is not only on a mission to ignite this fire within us, she's also here to inspire us to reignite our conviction and the purposefulness throughout our lives. Tune in to find out how shifting this energy provides the spark that lights this flame when we return to the light inside. We'd like to offer a shout out to our affiliate matching partner, Podmatch.com. Podmatch is the revolutionary podcasting matching system driven by AI. As an industry leader in podcast guesting and hosting, they are a go-to solution for creating meaningful podcast interactions. Podmatch.com makes finding the ideal guest or host effortless. Stop by and visit our affiliate link today at www.thelightinside.us. Energy powers our world. An essential part of our daily lives, we use energy to heat and cool our homes, schools, and businesses. We use energy for light and appliances. Energy makes our vehicles go, planes fly, boats sail, and machines run. And all living things, they need energy too. It's the basis of our existence, our thoughts, feelings, and bodies, a swirling mass of, you guessed it, energy. There's energy out there too, beyond our wildest imagination. Besides bringing Danielle Lara to life, she also uses energy to give back to those around her. At the age of 7, a single hospital visit changed her world, shaping her identity. As Danielle visited a children's hospital with her mother, she found herself surrounded by younger people who were much like her, with an exception. They had cancer. The energy she felt as she sat with them, heartbreaking. When relaying the story now, she conveys her deep sense of empathy, feeling the immensity of their spirit, the tale of their emotions and experiences as if they were her own. And in this moment, she learned. Transcending to another level, this is what it's like to feel the human soul. In this moment, although jarring, she felt the undeniable stirring of purpose. It was in this instant she dedicated her life to curing this illness and healing the world. Throughout our lives, having an energetic alignment allows us to connect with your energy and our intuitive wisdom inside. When we focus on our energetic alignment, we're able to tap into our natural energy flow. We identify what it is that truly brings us joy and fulfillment. We manifest our life's desires, empowering us to be aware of our needs and achieve our goals. Connecting to this very energy of life, it's like flowing to the rhythms that move us all. And our vibration, the vibration in all things, attracts the things that ignite our inner flame. However, there are times when our energy runs astray and we feel off balance. In these moments, it's important to take a step back and remembering that trusting the universe ultimately leads us to where we need to be. And sometimes, we call on the help of a caring outside healer like Danielle. Danielle, you help others learn to master their energy and as a result, empowering them to transform their reality. Would you share with our listeners how you began this journey?
Yeah, so my background is actually in the medical field, traditional Western medicine, through my roles in nursing, clinical counseling, and then CEO of a medical center. So kind of interesting because my background really was so empirical data and hard facts and all of these things where energy really didn't have room to be there. And through driving through my experience on kind of every level within that structure of traditional Western medicine, as well as through my own journey of being completely burnt out, totally depleted, being that super high achiever, high performer, go, 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 I was like, okay, there has got to be something I'm missing. There has got to be something else here beyond just the facts. And so I was determined after about my sixth hospital visit from just stress-related issues and everything like that, I said, there has to be more. And so I started understanding energetics and got fascinated, actually like obsessed with the study of energetics. And it finally was this world that made sense to me. I'm like, oh, this makes sense. This makes sense why I have felt all these energies and vibrations and intentions my whole life. And I was so sensitive to it. And this explains so much. And that's also what led to really opening up spiritual and intuitive gifting as well. But it was really the catalyst for me that allowed me to transform my own life from this very kind of masculine energy dominated world of hustle, go, 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 strive, exceed, achieve, meet the goal, go to the next, to this level of actually being present for the journey and getting real with myself of where I really wanted to be rather than living my life essentially by default because of what I was taught essentially in my conditioning. So opening that energy up to what is actually in alignment for me and then making the decisions in my life, some pretty huge decisions to follow that energy and follow that light inside, you know, like what your podcast is all about.
Yes, it is. That's quite a journey, Danielle. In that regard, how does our energy manifest in our behaviors and actions? And how can understanding this aspect help us in our personal growth journey?
I think the first step is understanding the dissonance of where we are versus where we want to be or how we really want to feel as a being, not necessarily what we want to do, but really, how do we want to be? How do we want to really feel in our lives? And so it's understanding that level of dissonance of where that really is and identifying, okay, if this is not what I want to feel, if this is not what I want to ultimately be on a day-to-day basis, what is? And that discovery opens a huge amount of things up because we don't typically know. Like, I didn't know when someone asked me this 5 years ago in my journey. And so that's one of those things where when you allow yourself to open up to what are the possibilities, all of this energy starts exuding of possibility and you start dreaming again, maybe even for the first time in your life, where you're able to really think of, oh, what is possible for me? And as you open up that energy, then you start to come into the understanding of what is actually aligned for you. And that becomes exciting because then we have possibility to actually do something different to feel what we ultimately want to feel and experience.
What is possible? What is possible? That's the $20 million question.
Yes.
From my perspective, energy healing seems to be gaining a lot of popularity as a complementary approach to that overall well-being. Can you share with us some insights into how energy healing works and its potential benefits?
For me and for a lot of my clients, it kind of starts with kind of essentially reevaluating your entire belief system and understanding, okay, what is it that I believe to actually be true? What are my core truths and values? And are they actually my own? Or are they what I was conditioned to believe? That's really the starting point and kind of resurrecting everything from there and understanding, okay, beyond what society tells us is true, beyond what our parents taught us, beyond what we may have learned in religion or anything else, if we strip away all of that, and we essentially kind of go back to this place as though we were just, you know, born yesterday, so to speak. What is it in our own spirits that resonates as truth for us? And often there is dissonance in those core values and beliefs on what is actually true for us now in this moment versus maybe what we have believed to be true our entire life. So we're able to see areas that we're not actually in alignment with anymore, that maybe a year ago served us that now doesn't. And that's the beauty of expansion and of growth. And this is something that we can reevaluate all the time. Are we actually in alignment with these particular values, beliefs, the things that we are part of? Or is that kind of a former version of us? So this is something we get to examine.
Danielle, our energy can deeply impact our relationships. And so often we're focused outward on how other people's energy is affecting us. How does our energy signature influence the dynamics of our relationships? And what steps can we take to enhance the quality of these connections?
The beauty is it does start within. We can't necessarily go without if we're not rooted in what we actually believe. So it does start from an internal perspective. I too lean on the spectrum of being more internally focused from that approach as well, and looking within and making everything essentially come from that grounded, rooted place within me that then I can bring out to the world. Again, I think it's kind of conditioning as well. We're conditioned to receive validation and that feedback from external sources all the time that kind of feeds our way into the world. And if you're like me as a former people pleaser, this is destructive for our own energy and our own energetic bounds, because we're not really doing anything based on, okay, is this in alignment with what I believe is true? We're doing it out of, how is this going to please the people around me? Or is this a thing I quote unquote should do? And I think for so much of my own life, I was very much living in what I call the should lane of doing everything right. Everything I think that people expected of me that I should do to be successful or find fulfillment or happiness or whatever. But because I wasn't tuning into that light inside of my own heart and understanding what was true for me, I was constantly feeling that dissonance of not really being fulfilled, not really being happy, not really understanding my purpose. So it wasn't until I went within myself and re-examined everything. I kind of call it the spiritual awakening of sorts, because I examined everything in my life and redefined what it actually means for me now in my full level of truth and making it my own. And then interesting how our external reality kind of switches, kind of pivots as a result of how we are reflecting our internal reality.
You know, it's interesting to see how sometimes there's skepticism around the concept of energy and its effects on personal development, a questioning of its truthfulness, if you will. How would you address those skeptics and encourage them to explore this aspect further?
For me, as I've worked through this, because this was a huge question that I've had too, that I have definitely done my due diligence in working through for sure. I think for me anyway, learning to master me, my energy. And when I say master, I want to also say, I believe that we are always expanding. We are always growing. So mastery for me is the understanding of being fiercely loyal to our core truths, values, and beliefs, to where whatever we are doing, it can be and will be in alignment with who we are, because we know ourselves. It's an intimate knowing of ourselves, how our energy works, who we be at our core, what we stand for. So I believe that when we begin to master ourselves, that's when we can really begin to master our mission. And your mission might be, you know, your purpose, your career, your calling, whatever resonates with you, whatever you want to call it. For me, I believe that I have a calling. I believe I have like a mission on this earth that is meant to help people expand in their own consciousness as well and learn themselves and know themselves deeply. So that's beyond just, oh, I want to make X amount of money, or, oh, I just want to have this kind of car or whatever. This is my soul's mission, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's kind of the difference that I lived in my life of living with the mission of what's going to look good and be the best and what's going to make me look like the most amazing individual and successful person versus what is actually going to light up my soul and bring where I can use all of my gifting, where I can use every dimension of who I be and bring it to the world, because that's what I was craving that I didn't have before. And I was able to do that through mastering me, so I can master that mission.
Thank you for giving me some clarity on that energy today, because where do we speak truth to this potential? Where do we align this potential? So first and foremost, I'm grateful for you for bringing that back around, finding of your gifts, that releasing of some of the mistruths and layers of baggage we pick up from others, that becomes a weight that doesn't allow us to simply step into how we function at our essence. Mm-hmm. Energy in itself is not about linear growth or expansion when you look at the nature of energy. Mm-hmm. I was contemplating that today, what we were taught about energy growing up through schooling, you know, at least through my education. We see all those pictures of the atomic structure. We see a little ball of one atom, a positive and negative, swirling around in one little path in a circle. Somewhat of a dumbed down version of what science now has explored and known to understand of energy. I don't know if I'm pushing out of a zone you're familiar and comfortable with, but I'm looking at from my perspective how within the Joe Dispenza book, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, they're looking at these notions that he's sharing from this scientific view that our energy is more of a loose kind of floating thing out there. We all want to try to make these linear senses of things, how things kind of lined up in a row. The universe doesn't work that way. The very nature of the universe is somewhat of a mystery and vague and uncontrollable.
Totally.
How do we answer for that from your perspective?
That's what makes this whole energetic alignment conversation so highly personalized, because every single person's energetic blueprint is different. The way we process energy, feel emotion, process the world around us is different. And no one knows what anyone else is thinking because or feeling because you're not them. But the beauty of this is understanding what all of this means for you. It's making it your own and coming to the conclusion for you of what do you want out of life? What is your energetic alignment? It doesn't have to look like anyone else's. In fact, what I see holds so many people back is that they don't embrace their own unconventionality. They don't embrace like the multidimensionality of who they are. They feel like they have to fit into this box. And that's how I felt for so much of my life. This box of this system and structure is not working for me. I feel like I'm not being me. And so that's really like the self-exploration is the part here. It's my answer, quote unquote, answer to the question is your own self-discovery. It's unique to you. Nobody can tell you. You have to go into your own soul and kind of make peace with what is true for you. And only you, I think for me, at least through somatic awareness is how I was able to do that. And what I mean by somatic awareness is the resolution of how the vibration feels in our body. So for me and for a lot of my clients, what feels true, what is true for us is this level of feeling. So for example, if we were to say whatever we want to say about ourselves, we say, I'm an astronaut, for example, or I want to be an astronaut, sitting with it, like close your eyes, feel in your body. What is the actual sensation in your body? Does it feel light? Does it feel like almost like tiny little tingles? Does it feel a little bit like wide, so to speak? If so, that is our body opening up to it. It's a somatic yes, it is true for us. Versus if you sit with it and it feels like heavy, a little bit heavy in your body, or it just feels like dull or almost like nothing, then it's probably a no for you. This is what's so amazing when I'm recalibrating, and this is how I teach my clients as well. When you're recalibrating truth and understanding what is actually true for you now, we use somatic awareness because our bodies are hyper intelligent. Our bodies know before our minds do or anything else. So going to the body and sitting with it, and what is your body telling you? And that is your truth, and learn to trust that. The more that we learn to do that and we learn to trust what is true for us versus what is not true, it becomes instantaneous and we can know that pretty instantly.
That's really sitting with me today. That sensation, those feelings and thoughts are basically our antenna, our reception, tuning in that energy around us, how we interact in the world. Going back to that Joe Dispenza, breaking the habit of being yourself, our current understanding of the state of our conscious mind tells us through science that about 5%, only 5% of our conscious mind is engaged with those processes of awareness, of logic, and understanding of meaning. That means 95% of our brain is often subconsciously active and engaged in pattern behaviors.
Yep.
Habits and rituals, routines, things we're taught that we put on the autopilot. We have to manage that 95% in some way and means through those antennas and perceptors of those thoughts and feelings.
Mm-hmm. That's the key to that self-awareness piece. And it can be messy. Like, let's be honest, that journey of uncovering those subconscious and unconscious beliefs.
I think there's something about that in my bio description of the show.
Yeah. And that's why so many of us avoid it, at least for a period of time in our life. At least for me, that was the case. I avoided it as long as I could, suppressed it as much as I could, just went through the motions of the day until I couldn't anymore, until I literally had to face it. And I think that that's the two things that really create change in our life are either continuous repetition, so we're creating a new pattern, or some sort of really life-altering circumstance that happens that makes us face the reality and shift gears and forces us essentially to evaluate what's really happening. So I always say it's way less painful if you can just start implementing the pattern yourself. So, and the easiest way to do that is just to start becoming aware. When you have an emotion that comes up throughout the day, for example, if you're triggered, if you see something on the news or really anything, you'd be in the grocery store and somebody could say something and it just trigger you. In that moment, when you feel a level of activation, whether it's good or bad, positive, negative, whatever you want to label it as, pause and ask yourself, where is this emotion coming from? What caused this? And then ask yourself, well, why is that? And you keep asking why. Oh, if that's the case, because I was upset about this, because when I was little, my mom taught me this and I believed this my whole life. Do I really believe this anymore? Do I actually have to be upset about this? Right. And it's like, oh my gosh. And it's amazing when you start becoming aware, you start realizing how much of that, like you said, it's 95% of our subconscious mind is what rules us throughout our day. You start realizing how much we've really just been accustomed to what we've learned and have been taught versus our choice. So that's the beauty where we get to start living a life by design because we're choosing it rather than just by default because it's what we're conditioned to know.
That's dipping our pool back into that 5% of our resources to create that difference in logic, that difference in value and meaning. You know, it all comes down to, it's hard if we don't take the time to map out what we value, what creates purpose and meaning in our life, what is simply the roadmap to purposeful. So often we look for a single thing and say that single thing is going to create our state of happiness, rather than finding that purpose and meaning based on the values we carry through life. To me, that's the biggest thing.
You're exactly right. How many times, I mean, I'm sure you can relate to this too. How many times do we think, oh, if I just have this one thing, I'm going to be happy. Once I get this, it's going to solve all my problems. You know, a lot of people think, you know, money is that what I've experienced. Like, if I just have this amount of money, I'll be set for life. I'll be fine. All my problems will go away. And you get that amount of money, you make that amount of money. And then all of a sudden you still have the same problems and you realize you're still actually not really fulfilled, right? Yeah. Exactly. Like you say, it's the values that you can carry with you on a day-to-day basis where your energy feels aligned with whatever it is that you're doing. So it's not, it's more of the intangible. It's the emotion, the feeling that you are able to create based on your values, no matter where you are, versus the external circumstance of having a thing that you think is going to make you have an end result that you want.
When it comes to mobile service providers, with their high rate plans, extra fees, and hidden costs or expenses, many of the big name networks leave a bad taste in your mouth. Mint Mobile is a new flavor of mobile network service, sharing all the same reliable features of the big name brands, yet at a fraction of the cost. I recently made the change to Mint Mobile, and I can't believe the monthly savings, allowing me to put more money in my pocket for the things which truly light me up inside. Making the switch to Mint Mobile is easy. Hosted on the T-Mobile 5G network, Mint gives you premium wireless service on the nation's largest 5G network. With bulk savings on flexible plan options, Mint offers 3, 6, and 12-month plans. And the more months you buy, the more you save. Plus, you can also keep your current phone or upgrade to a new one, keep your current number or change to a new one as well, and all of your contacts, apps, and photos will seamlessly and effortlessly follow you to your new low-cost Mint provider. Did I mention the best part? You keep more money in your pocket. And with Mint's referral plan, you can rescue more friends from big wireless bills while earning up to $90 for each referral. Visit our Mint Mobile affiliate link at thelightinside.us/sponsors for additional mobile savings, or activate your plan in minutes with the Mint Mobile app. A fine line separates enlightenment and embodiment. The stress of life can take its toll. We hurry here, rush there, and the line between us and what connects us to the divine, it grows ever longer, separating us even further from ourselves, our dreams, our vision, the goals, and our way. At times, we lose that magic spark inside. From the outside, looking in, although it seems like we have it all together, things get pretty heavy. We lose that magic spark inside, and we long for that day when we say, I've got 99 problems, but an energy alignment ain't one. So often we look at those problems as things, you know, those problems that create stuck in our energy. Watching and listening to another podcast this morning, you know, local gentleman that I look up to his line of thought. In his line of thought, though, he said, by having more problems, you know, we're finding more solutions. There's a viability in that. But why do we have to also look at that problem as a burden or a thing? Look at those moments of gratitude that you gain from those instances. Don't get stuck in that moment of looking at what you perceive to be a problem. Don't look at that as a hindrance. Find the blessing that's hidden in there was ultimately the goal I took away from that. You know, ultimately, the insight I took away was find those blessings, those moments of gratitude. Where do they deliver you in life?
And that can sometimes feel messy too, because it's not always so clear cut. I believe we can find the beauty and the good in anything. Yeah. That might sound really horrific when you think of like the state of the world or some things that are happening in the world, right? So sometimes it's not obvious. It's not obvious to see the good, but you will always find what it is that you're looking for. So if you are looking for good, even if it's one hint of a shadow of a piece of good, right? Sometimes you do have to look for it. And I think that we're conditioned to believe if we don't just see it, if it doesn't just stand out, then it's not there. So that's something that I invite people to look at as well. Sometimes it is pulling back the layers. It is digging deeper. It is allowing our mind to explore what's beyond the surface, not just what is, not just what appears to be, but rather what really is at its core. And sometimes that takes work. Sometimes why we avoid it, you know?
So if an individual was wanting to start some of this work, I'm going to throw this to you because this is an area of expertise for you, an area where you truly align. Where do we start the ball rolling? How do we start the ball rolling?
We start first by recognizing the dissonance. So what I mean by that is that level of something's not right here, whether it's unhappiness, unfulfillment, whatever, literally anything, but recognizing and coming to the conscious awareness that it's there. Because too often we go through life, sometimes years, decades of our life suppressing it and just kind of putting it under the rug because we think we don't have time. We don't have time to face that right now. We've got things to do. And I say the time is going to keep passing. So the longer you resist it, the longer it's going to persist. You're just going to keep facing this. So I would say number one is just face the dissonance, become aware of what it is, and then explore. Is this a result of conditioned beliefs? Is this a part of your subconscious programming that's ruling your life? Or is it just simply some conscious choices that you can change and rearrange, right? Like for me, it was leaving corporate to start my own business. That's a conscious choice I had to make, right? So sometimes it's simple things that you can actually do physically, tangibly. And a lot of times, more often, it's beliefs and patterns of thought that we have to address. And I say, get hot with yourself, which stands for honest, open, and transparent. That also, for me, relates with the mind, body, and soul. Understanding, stripping everything away, going at its core, and understanding how does this relate to you and your mind? How does this relate to you emotionally, your soul? How do you relate to this? And then physically, how do you relate to this? And creating that holistic approach of wholeness in your life and what you really want that to look like. Once you get clear on what you want that to look like, and granted, this is going to be potentially a long process. We don't typically know, or otherwise we'd already have it. We'd be doing it.
Tough road to walk. You know, so often we're afraid to feel vulnerable. I like to dive into that deep because so often we only think of our energy from the standpoint of us. What am I doing for me? How am I feeling? Our energy is all tied throughout the entire being of the universe. We are one with that source. We are so often just simply aligned with, it's my energy. How do I think? How do I feel?
Yeah.
How do we step that up into a bigger sense of being?
Yes. Often because we've never had someone hold us in our vulnerability and be safe. often, right? We share often. Something vulnerably and it's criticized or judged or made to feel a certain way, right? Rather than having that space held to be vulnerable and it be met with love and just space being held, right? So oftentimes in our life, we don't always have that person who can do that for us. So we have to learn to do that for ourselves. We have to become intimately safe and aware with ourselves because we may not have that person when we need it. So that's what definitely creates that level of what I call like personal sovereignty within of knowing we might not have that person. We might have the external thing or circumstance that we think we need in that moment, but we do have what we need within us. It's a matter of being open to exploring it and activating it and letting ourselves hold that for us and create that internal safety, which then when we learn to practice that internal safety, it affects every other domain of our life. Because then others are able to feel safe within our presence. And that cultivates a deep level of connection. So it starts with you first.
We have to be able to align with that embodiment, as you mentioned so often throughout your posts, throughout your program, that embodiment, once you attune that awareness, that dissonance, that static that blocks, that baggage that weighs us down, so often creates those cognitive biases where we exercise a judgment based on some external force besides that inner voice.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a process. Like I said, it's not always fun. So give yourself grace. If you're like, okay, I'm going to go do this exercise. Know that it's not just like a one and done. This is something that you may evaluate even on a daily basis if you feel led. But I mean, all the time, when anytime, this is the key to know that you've shifted, is anytime you're feeling that dissonance, and dissonance meaning like weight, heaviness, density, something that just doesn't feel right, know that this is the perfect time to reevaluate and to recenter and realign and go back to those core truths, values, and beliefs and reestablish, okay, are these still true for me? Clearly something's not still true because I'm being activated and being triggered in this way that's creating an emotion that's not in alignment with my core truths, values, and beliefs. So therefore, I know it's a sign that I can readdress that now.
So often, from my perspective, that weight can also become that thing we trip over.
Yeah.
That thought that we're creating those notions that we have to be burdened by that. You know, we move out of that notion for me of homeostasis. Okay. So often we are told that okay, and it's a patterning, that okay is settling. Okay can also be in balance. Homeostasis is balance. Balance means things are working the way they should.
Yes.
Are we creating a block sometimes by tripping up on something else, by thinking that is also patterned to be not acceptable?
Exactly. And that's where it goes back to kind of energetic minimums and maximums. Everyone has different energetic minimums and maximums. What I think is going to be super fun and fulfilling might be like awful to you. It might be so draining to you, right? And vice versa.
Yes.
Things that I think are fun and want to do, you might be like, oh God, I would never do that. So this is the thing. We can't compare, but we're conditioned to compare because that's the world we live in. So understanding where we can get to this point of relieving the comparison analysis and coming back again to our own personal truth. What is the light inside of us telling us is true for us? And knowing that that might look totally different from your neighbor or your best friend or your parent or your sibling, whatever. And that's okay. What is true for you? What is that? And being fiercely loyal to that. Because when we're not, we move into this level of self-betrayal, which is when we go into people-pleasing, into striving and hustling and doing things out of alignment that then cause dis-ease in the body. And we reap the repercussions of that. So in any decision, this was something that I had to ask myself. And this is something I help my clients through as well. Through every decision that you're making, going through the filter of, is this a self-loyal decision or is this a self-betrayal decision? That is convicting. When you put everything through those filters, you realize how much you're letting that 95%, that subconscious reality overtake you versus living a life where you're making active choices that are in your highest good.
That resonates with me energetically in a couple of different ways. You know, first, I like to look at that idea of self-loyal. You know, how also does that self-loyal bring a value to us when we are interacting in a relationship to others, because that relationship cannot be discounted, but it cannot also rule. We're moving into that state of balance.
Mm-hmm. Are we responding in a way that aligns with our authentic values, our authentic truth, but also being open to that energy in the space of the others? You know, that can be a tricky slope to navigate a lot of times. A lot of times we slip and slide ourselves down that.
We do. And we make compromises a heck of a lot of the time. Again, the conditioning of, well, this is what's going to be better for everybody. So I'm just going to do this. And I was the classic person. This is something I would say is kind of my kryptonite, the thing that I still have to realign with myself on a daily basis, because I am, especially if you are consider yourself to be a healer and one to really want to help the world, right? And you feel like that's your mission. We are very prone. This archetype of person is very prone to self-betrayal, not because you are thinking, oh, I'm going to betray myself, but rather because you're putting others before you to your own detriment. That's the thing. We end up sometimes going into this, this cycle of giving from an empty cup where we're just depleted. In that case, are we really giving? Are we really actually providing value? No, we're not. Right. So it's putting your own life vest on before, you know, the life mask or whatever from the airplane before you help someone else. You can't help them if you're out of oxygen and you're dying. Right. So same thing with our own life. Are we making sure that we are giving from a level of overflow because we are full, or are we just running out of steam? The energy there is completely different in how we think, how we perceive we're actually helping. You know, that's a big thing to observe as well.
I could see where that ties in with those notions of the energetic minimum and maximum.
Yeah.
Can we reel it back a little bit? Guide us down those two theories. What is an energetic minimum? What is an energetic maximum? How do we learn to recognize those, engage those in our relationships?
Yes, that's amazing. So energetic minimums are like the bare minimum of what we need to still feel aligned with whatever it is. So if it's relationships, for example, what is it that like the basic bare minimum that we need to be able to feel like we have a mutually fulfilling or thriving relationship? And then our energetic maximums are the things that we ultimately really desire. They may feel like almost far-fetched, right? These are the things that we might feel like we can't necessarily have, but we would love. If we opened ourselves up to, we would love to have those. It's also the thing that kind of quote unquote caps us out sometimes. So I see this a lot of times, you know, I do work with a lot of couples and relationships, and sometimes these are moments where it's kind of a dead end. The relationship has taken its toll. You learned lessons you needed to learn, and it's time to move on. But you're thinking, okay, but they've been loyal, but they're a great person, but I see their potential. But what's happening is, but your energetic maximum is now increased. What you really need and desire now is more than that. So it's a matter of, are you going to stay with your energetic minimum, or are you going to rise to your energetic maximum, which sometimes can be tricky because, again, when we're hitting our energetic maximums, we're going to a place we've never been before. So our mind is kind of this upper limit problem that comes up next. And if you're familiar with upper limit from Dr. Gay Hendricks and his book, The Big Leap, it absolutely changed my life. And it's really about energetic maximums and what he calls, it refers to as his upper limit. And it's like, we go through life, we have all of these ceilings and we've reached, you know, the bottom ceiling, we've been there, we've done that. We know we can attain that. So we go to the middle, you know, the middle thing's like, oh, okay, well, maybe I haven't done that, but then you do it or you feel it, you experience it and you're like, oh, okay, whatever. That's my new normal. Then you go up and you keep reaching a new normal. And so you get to this maximum, this energetic maximum or this upper limit. And our minds, when we haven't experienced something to actually be true for ourselves, our unconscious mind marks it as null or void. Like it's not actually possible because we haven't actually had that level of experience. So we have to kind of break through that glass ceiling, so to speak, break through that upper limit to be able to get to the new place. That's our new energetic minimum. And so our energetic minimums, our maximums are constantly upgrading, so to speak, the more that we experience.
I'm going to relate to that, if I may.
Yeah.
We had this great conversation with a gentleman by the name of John Beattie, mountaineer that climbs some of the greatest peaks in the world, has climbed Mount Everest. Relayed with me in this conversation that as we're climbing this Mount Everest, they have a process where they'll go up a little bit. They have to come back down to reacclimate and they go back up. So often we relate our life to that up and down climb to try to get to the top of something. As we're having this discussion of the energetic maximums, I have this flash of that great Sharper Image toy, you know, the little desk sculpture of the perpetual balls. Are we not often, or should we align more like those perpetual balls of balance and energy. One action, one reaction keeps the whole thing moving in harmony. There's a great energy to look at that, because so often we get caught in those up and down slides rather than finding that middle ground balance that keeps things in flow.
Exactly.
To me, I'm watching that. It's like, boom. And I relate from my perspective. There's so much to be witnessed around us that the universe tells us the secret.
Totally.
It keeps moving in flow and harmony, bounce into our perception. Seems like things just flow right along rather than try to find that up and down, that back and forth in judgment. And even then, you know, maybe that is a part of that flow and we just create the baggage and judgment of it, the attachment to it, the perception of it.
And the more that you do that, the more that you learn to become in harmony with your energy, and it's that back and forth, and yes, you become more in a state of flow, the more that it just becomes easier to do. Like, you can live in a state of flow when you practice what that is for you. I liken it to, kind of bring it down to, sometimes is like when we go to the gym, for example, right? Like, you don't go in, say you haven't worked out in like a year, let's just say, right? You go in, you're not going to go in lifting the heaviest weight possible. You're going to go in lifting small weights, and then you're going to up the reps, up the weight until you reach the weight that you really want to be lifting. Same thing with our energy. We don't just go in feeling like, well, I'm just going to be in flow forever and always. No, we have to train ourselves on what that looks like. We have to train ourselves what it looks like to be in unison with our energy and the polarities of our energy, so that we can harness that power and move forward. And then eventually, before you know it, you know, you're in the gym, you've lifted all the weights to recondition your muscles to lift the heavy weights, and you're there. Same thing with our energy as well. It works the exact same way.
There's a stepping off point to that, to me, even then, from that energetic standpoint. How much have we been conditioned to believe that's how our energy focuses? I think in that instance of when you hear these stories of people that they're working under a car and the car falls, we're told we don't have the muscular strength to lift that vehicle enough to get a person out. But we have seen instances where that's happened. Are we convincing ourselves of some of our scientific limit there? Mm-hmm. Do we do that in other areas of our lives? I like to go up and go to the edge of that and look over and say, where are we making our own limited potential? We do that in so many areas.
Yeah, we do. And that's a whole other way we could go, for sure. Oh,
that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
But let's put the tip of the iceberg out there, so to speak. Keep your mind open, because that's one of the pathways that allows that energy to flow.
Exactly. Allowing yourself to, if you believe that it's possible, you're probably going to achieve it, right? Versus if you think it's not possible, well, there's no way. It's of course you're not going to do it. So exactly like you said, keeping your mind and your heart open to understanding you are way more powerful and way more capable than you think you are. And allowing yourself to shift from that limited mindset to a limitless mindset of, I'm going to explore this and I'm going to see how this might be possible for me.
I'm going to sit with that a second. I'm going to sit with that, because there again, that leads us back to that idea of there is a certain level of mastery there. There's a certain level of understanding and awareness, a certain level of being flexible and fluid for discovery in order to create that embodiment. No one thing creates that state. No one presence of energy answers all of those problems, brings forth all of those questions.
That is the essential aspect of that self-mastery piece of going in and determining, well, do you even want to do this? For example, what came up top of my head is several of my friends are running a marathon. Like, I have no desire to run a marathon. No desire. Could I, if I trained and everything? Yeah. I believe I could, totally. But do I actually want to? I had to check in, because I was like, yeah, you know, we were all on board. We're like, we're going to do this together. And then I was like, oh, you know what? No. I don't actually want to do that, right? Coming back to the awareness of, is that going to be the best use of my time and energy? Is that going to light me up? No. Like, it, for me personally, that feels really exhausting and not fun and like excruciating. And I don't have the desire to do that. So this is something that, you know, again, whatever it is in your life, whatever you think that you can do, Are you going at it with the perspective of, I want to just test my limits and see what's possible for me? Or are you doing it to kind of prove to someone else, right? Or to fit in with something that this is what you should be doing versus, is it really what you want? And reevaluating it from that perspective too. Like, do I actually want to do this? Like, that's huge.
Three times I've tried to train up for a marathon. Used to be a dedicated runner. My knee started going bad. I had three injuries running where, you know, I would train up, get to that point. I started to evaluate myself. I have no pride in it. I let go of my ego and said, why am I really doing this? Because that was to me, and that's again, my perspective, I'm making my value system based on what creates value and meaning for me. I'm just picking up one of these torches that says, hey, here is a badge of courage for you from your perspective. And it was for me, for my perspective that I was adapting to. If that makes your value and meaning fantastic, personally, I reflected on this. Like, do I want to subject myself to this or can I focus this time? Based a lot of it on my notion of maintaining health, but in the process creating, you know, my own unhealthy breakdowns, pushing to that limit. Eventually said, well, there's a balance here to this exercise and fitness thing. Ultimately, it wasn't fulfilling my value scale. It wasn't a definite yes. I love the process of running. I learned to love that runner's high. I learned to adapt to all of those circumstances, but ultimately, it did not bring that bigger sense of fulfillment to me. I let it go. You know, I shifted the perspective. I said, how can I be fit and maintain my body? Mm-hmm. There again, a personal call for yourself, a personal sense of alignment with your value.
That was your sovereign decision. And that wasn't the case for anyone else. And that's okay. That was their decision. But it's also, you know, coming back to that level of sovereignty within of like, it doesn't really matter how what anybody else thinks about this because you're the one in your body. You're the one that has to do this or be this or feel this or whatever it is you're doing in life. And so coming back to that level of sovereign, I say sovereign success, and success looks different to all of us. So what does it look like for you? You know, whatever that is, coming to the core of that for you, even if and even when people don't understand. And that's okay.
There again, answering to that fine line of ego development. Am I being weighed down by energetic attachments and emotional baggage, realigning them to better align with the entire universe? So often we form those attachments. That energy stays stuck inside, keeping us stationary, and we get stuck in unhealthy habits. The quote unquote faulty patterns. We start to project them outwards. So finally, Danielle, if you could, leave us with one tip. When we stray or lose course, how can we bring more alignment and balance back to those energies?
To kind of bringing that back around is that first step is the self-awareness and that filter. Is this self-loyal or is this self-betrayal? What does my soul really desire in this moment? Like what feels true for my energy? What feels like it's right for me? Going back to that somatic awareness exercise, because you might not know in your head, you know? So feeling into your body, what is your body telling you is true for you? And then being fiercely loyal to that, even if and even when nobody else gets it or understands, that's okay.
It's okay. It's funny to me because sometimes we say, okay, you know, out of habit, but then we also can have these tendencies and influences, these voices and whatever that say, well, but okay is not okay. It's maintaining that balance.
Yes.
If our listeners want to reach out to you, Danielle, to help discover that balance, to find their awareness and become that embodiment of their energy, where can they reach out to you?
They can find me on my website at danielle-laura.com. You can send me a DM on Instagram. My handle is _danielle_laura_, or you can just shoot me an email, which is danielle@danielle-laura.com.
Awesome. I thank you so much for sharing your wonderful energy today. I hope that I have additionally brought some light to this conversation today. You know, I know right now my energy is feeling a little bit bumped and bruised in some ways, much like that extended run. You know, I feel like we've been running some marathons in life. Yeah. I'm not letting it beat me down. I'm not giving up, but I'm looking at that and saying, where do we go with this energy? Are we running in our own direction? Are we creating purpose and meaning for ourselves?
Yes. And you have brought so much light to the conversation. Thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor. This has been a delight.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you so much. May you have a wonderful day today.
Thank you. You as well.
Let's do this again soon.
I would love that.
I look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful week. Recalibrate that energy.
Feel good. You too.
Everything is energy. Our thoughts, emotions, and actions, all influenced by energy within us and around us. Electrical engineer and futurist Nikola Tesla tells us, to know the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. Going on to say, our brain is only a receiver. In the universe, there is a core from which we obtain knowledge, strength, and inspiration. Danielle and I have dove deep into the fascinating topic of energy and how it shapes our lives. We explored the power of vulnerably accepting our emotions and how change can come through repetition or life-altering circumstances. We make this a reality by becoming aware of our emotions, questioning their origins, and uncovering our unconscious and our subconscious influences. We discovered the concept of energetic minimums and maximums to understand what truly aligns with our values and needs. And hey, sometimes reaching our energetic maximums can lead to new, exciting beginnings, even if it means leaving behind what no longer serves us. Transcending into those higher realms of consciousness can feel challenging at times. However, as we've discussed in past episodes, contrary to popular belief, psychological comfort sets us free. Our minds resist the energy of change, but trust me, it's worth it. Remember, it's time to tap into your energy and create the life you truly love. If you found this message meaningful, please share it with a friend or loved one. And as always, we're grateful for you, our valued listening community. This has been The Light Inside. I'm Jeffrey Biesecker.